Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. We need to talk about the little cafe taking on big Coca-Cola, a sporting interruption, and is Corduroy coming back? But before any of that, policy is starting to trickle out of this new coalition. Labor's talking about a few things. Leighton wants to look at mental health first.
And there's not a lot they can do about it. They can only expand on it. And my suggestion is that's what they're going to do. There will be greater health problems in the future, greater mental health problems in particular is what I'm referring to. And if you want reference point, go to the cannabis referendum. Because if that gets passed, you will see an increase in mental health issues in New Zealand beyond what we've got now. There's no question about it. I'm tired of people who keep telling us that cannabis is not a gateway drug, that cannabis does not do you damage, etc., etc., etc. It does. And there was a story yesterday of a new study that said exactly that. Leads to early schizophrenia. And that's your biggest mental health issue. Schizophrenia and associated mental problems. And you've got to say, you have to agree that much of that problem, much of it, I'd say most of it, the increase in it, is caused by the use of drugs. So what are they going to do about that? The answer is I don't believe that they can do a lot. I'd like to say they could fix it, but they can't. They're a government. And governments can't stop people doing what they want to do. We've tried locking people up. Doesn't get us anywhere. So what is the answer? Well, I know what the answer is. And I'll bet you most of you do too know what the answer is. It's the same answer that deals with other social issues and social problems. And that's get at a root cause and put a stop to it. But you can only do it if a population is willing to do it, if they've reached a point where they say that this has got to stop and we're going to contribute to it stopping.
So is he saying that we should round up all the people with mental health problems and have them eliminated? Is that what he means? I don't think it is. I think he was talking about some kind of massive drugs crackdown, but either thing sounds tricky to facilitate. Rachel is looking at the coalition policies too, especially around the idea of foreign home ownership.
It's a flat $5,000 annual tax on owners who leave their investment properties vacant or unavailable for rent for 6 months or more. So that ghost tax is then used to subsidise first-time buyers. Now, quite how the policy will be applied here, still a little unclear. No real detail about that, though. What is clear is that foreign buyers will be checked. And there will also be a comprehensive review of the level of foreign ownership in this country. So that will be interesting, provided we can get accurate information. Now, that's a hard ask, and it will be difficult to police because, well, ownership might be tied up in trusts, and we can't measure, for example, when a foreigner sells directly to another foreigner. So it's a challenging ask, but we still need to measure this as best we can. Some of the stats presented by the previous government were warped. They were politically protective, if you will, because we know foreign, and in particular Chinese buyers, are a force in our market. Don't believe me? Speak to any real estate agent. I've had conversations with two recently. One spoke of a non-resident buyer from China who flew in, bought two properties in their millions, and then flew out the same day. Another agent looks after a significant development in this country. Again, all Chinese buyers, many, the agent said, who do the deals over the phone from China. So to understand the influence of foreign ownership on our housing market, we need to understand just how much property in this country is foreign owned. And I think this is a policy that's fairly well received by Kiwis across the political spectrum. Restrictions on foreign buyers and measuring the level of foreign ownership. Does it make sense to you?
Yes, I mean, we like that sort of thing, don't we? Because deep down we're all just a little bit racist. So even though they can't, it's very hard to prove exactly what it is that they're going to achieve or exactly what the numbers are. It gives us the license to be a little bit racist without being overtly racist. So we like that. Here's a bloke who sounds like he wasn't originally from New Zealand. Oh my God, he owns a cafe here. Unfortunately, it's got the same name as one of Coke's drinks in the UK, and now Coke are upset about that. It's the Innocent Foods Cafe. They've got a drink called Innocent, and now they've sent him a letter.
You have received this letter, Eggerman. What is it saying exactly?
It's basically a cease and desist letter that big brands send to small companies just to scare them off and tell them to change their name or their trademark.
Are you going to change your name?
Well, we like cooperation. Of course we will change our name because they are very eager to keep the name innocent for themselves. We believe we are innocent food, so it's not just innocent, it's actually foods as well. But we're going to change our name. We want to run like a competition on the social media and get people involved and choose our new name.
Okay, did you have any idea that there was a brand called Innocent in the UK?
Well, I've heard, I heard Coca-Cola, but I never heard Innocent, to be honest. But then I read about it, that they sell smoothies and other things. However, we are not we didn't start as a cafe. We started as an organic pistachio importer from Turkey, and that's hence why we call it Innocent Foods, you know. It had nothing to do with the juices or anything. And then we opened the cafe, and then we basically continued that name in our cafe.
Okay. I mean, it's not the Coca-Cola Cafe. Although, to be perfectly honest, I think I'd be more interested in going to the Coca-Cola Cafe than the Innocent Foods Cafe. The Coca-Cola Cafe sounds like it's got more of my kind of menu, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Sometimes people from the sports department just wander in and cause problems. Usually off-air, but not always.
Ho, 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 what japes?
Oh, man.
You're going to have to share now.
No, we're not.
Well, this may actually be the perfect opportunity. We're looking for someone to date Darcy.
Yes, we are.
Right. Well, and we meaning you two and not me.
I was suggesting that he walk out into the newsroom and ask the journalists, who are generally younger, if anyone's got a mother that's single.
Which, you didn't mention that they're generally younger when you said that. You said, why don't you go into the newsroom and ask anyone's got a spare mother that we've got?
Well, I meant the younger
Cricket
journalists.
Tonight from 9 o'clock.
No, I say that, though, because my flatmate's friend, they've set... Well, it's a couple of them. One's mum is single and one's dad is single, and so they've set them up together. Right. And so now they go on parent dates, and they're trying to get their parents to date each other, and they kind of like each other, and they're hanging out a little bit. Whether or not love actually happens, who knows?
Well, and this was all brought about because you found that very interesting article, didn't you?
Oh, no, this is just getting worse. Just when you were digging away out of a hole, you've gone and dug deeper for them. Thank you, Kerry.
Hold on, I need to find it now.
Yeah, well,
so tonight
to
it's the second one-day international between India and New Zealand, of course. So India are a bit down in the mouth. They beat Australia 4-1. They absolutely flogged them. In the first ODI, we beat them.
Darcy Walgrave there. That's a great lesson in how to deflect away from subjects that you're uncomfortable talking about on network radio. You just start talking about cricket and everybody loses interest straight away. Brilliant. We're going to finish up here with something else that I'm not really interested in. Corduroy. But Marcus seems to be.
I just read that they reckon corduroy's back, which would be the fifth time since the 70s I've fallen and have succumbed to that. We're going to be wearing corduroy again. Riff, 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 riff. Tremendous. In fact, once I had a pair of corduroy pants that had corduroy both ways, like horizontally and vertically, so it wasn't cord so much as just like islands of raised fabric anyway.
I'm glad he sort of explained exactly how that worked, because when he first said that he had cords that had corduroy that went both ways, I thought he meant not just on the outside but on the inside as well. And I was just trying to picture in my mind how that would feel. That's something that could catch on. Corduroy on the inside. It's really where it should be kept, isn't it? I'm sure it is coming. Most things come back. It's the hard thing about corduroy is that it does wear out, and then you've got bald patches. I've got enough bald patches on me without having them on my clothes as well. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Thursday. I'll see you back here with Friday's fashion tips tomorrow. Can't wait.